As you and I study through the Ten Commandments, it's obvious that God has a spiritual aspect to those commands. He wants to bless us in our faith and our Christian lives. But God also blesses us in a physical way, too. Tonight we're going to be studying the Fourth Commandment and God's representatives. Those representatives do help us in our spiritual life, but God takes care of everything for us, our physical life as well. He guides and directs our lives of faith, so that you and I can put our faith into action and honor Him in whatever command He's telling us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in Him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is an Old Testament reading from 1 Kings 3, verses 5 through 12. Solomon was one of the wisest men that ever lived, and he was a great king. And when God told Solomon to ask for whatever he wanted, God really would have given him whatever he wanted. But Solomon didn't ask for money or things like that. He asked for wisdom to rule in a way that honors God. You and I need wisdom too. We need that spiritual knowledge, like the Bible, which makes us wise for our salvation. The Lord appeared to Solomon in Gibeon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy and faithfulness to your servant, my father David, just as he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart toward you. You have shown this great mercy and faithfulness to him, and have given him a son who is seated on this his throne to this very day. O Lord my God, now you have made your servant king in the place of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And I, your servant, am among your people whom you have chosen, a great people who cannot be counted or numbered because they are so many. Now give to your servant a perceptive heart to judge your people, to distinguish between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" In the eyes of the Lord, Solomon's request was good. So God said to him, "Because you have asked for this, and you have not asked for a long life, nor have you asked for riches, nor have you asked for the lives of your enemies, but you have asked for a discernment to reach just verdicts, therefore I will act according to your words. Yes, I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that will never be have been anyone left for you, nor will anyone like you rise up after you." Our psalm reading for tonight is Psalm 118. This psalm reminds us to thank the Lord and put our trust in Him. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His love endures forever. In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and He answered me by setting me free. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. So I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. I will not die. No, I will live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them. I will give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks because you answered me. You have become my salvation. Our second lesson is a continuation of our reading from Romans chapter 8. One of the wonderful teachings about the Bible is how God has chosen us to be His very own children. Even before anything was created here, God chose us to believe in Him and to be saved. That's a mind-boggling concept, but it also gives us great comfort. Our faith is not just luck or fate. This is God's plan for us, and we can enjoy it here on earth and forever in heaven. Here's what Paul was inspired to write. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. Because those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Our final lesson is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 13, another parable of Jesus. These parables remind us of the great value of our faith and the kingdom of heaven that we possess already right now. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. In his joy, he goes away and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. When he found one very valuable pearl, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When the net was filled, they pulled it onto the shore. They sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but threw the bad ones away. That is how it will be at the end of the world. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous who are among them. Then they will throw the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus said to them, "Did you understand all these things?" They answered him, "Yes." He said to them, "Therefore, every expert in the law who has been trained as a disciple is the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of the house who brought in the good as well as the bad." God's word for our study this evening is the fourth commandment. It's recorded for us in Exodus 20, verse 12. "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." When you're studying the commandments in the catechism, one of the things that's added to the commandment are key words for each one, and that helps the students remember what the commandment is about. So the first commandment about having no other gods, the key words are God's glory. Second commandment about God's name, the key words are God's name. Third commandment we had last week about remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, the key words are God's word. Well, tonight we're studying the fourth commandment, and the key words are God's representatives. A representative is someone that acts on behalf of another. And so God has designed three representatives that He wants us to honor that bless our life spiritually, but also physically. So tonight we have another chance to put our faith into action and honor God's representatives, parents, and the government, and also the church. God gave the commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. I mentioned last week the first three commandments go together, showing love for God. And now with the fourth commandment, we're starting to talk about how we treat other people as we honor God. And so the fourth commandment talks about our parents, first of all, that God has given to us. God instituted Christian marriage in the Garden of Eden, and when husbands and wives have children, they become parents, and that's a blessing from the Lord. What does God want parents to do for their children? They take care of them in a physical way. They provide for them, they give them clothes and food and a home and everything that they could need here in this life, watch out for them, protect them, their schooling, all of that. Another thing that parents do for their children is that they teach them. There's a lot of instructing that goes on when you have kids at home, teaching them right from wrong, how to respect, how to honor, how to handle situations, and that's important. The most important thing that parents do for their children is to take care of their spiritual needs. That means holy baptism. It means bringing them to learn more about the Lord in classes and confirmation class, all kinds of things. And parents do that their whole life long, really, as they are examples for their children, no matter what their age is. Then there's one more thing that I think every parent could do at any stage, again, in their child's life. And that's pray for them. There's always things coming up in the lives of our children, and it's something that we can do at any time to pray for them and to help them not only in a physical way, but in a spiritual way as well. And through our parents, God is blessing us as we live here in this life. What should parents be doing for their kids? Well, here's the fourth commandment in the explanation. We should fear and love God that we do not dishonor or anger our parents and others in authority, but honor, serve, and obey them, and give them love and respect. Children are to honor their parents and realize that their parents have been given to them as a gift of God. As their parents ask them to do things, Luther says that they're to honor them, and then to serve them and obey them, and give them love and respect as long as they're here on this earth. God wants the children to realize that the parents are really a blessing to them that God has given them for their whole life long. What a privilege that we get to put our faith into action and honor this representative that God has given us with Christian parents. Many years ago, I visited a young couple. They had just had a baby, congratulated them at the hospital, and then talked about baptism with them. And I talked to them about the need for baptism, and they knew how important it was. But when I was done with my little speech on baptism, they said, "Well, Pastor, we're going to let our child decide if they want to be baptized or not. We don't want to force anything on them." Well, that's one of the responsibilities God gives Christian parents, to train their children and have them baptized. But these parents weren't really taking that all that seriously. Sometimes we're tempted to do the same thing when we have young children at home and even later in life, not to take our responsibility seriously as parents. Maybe there's problems and troubles and we just kind of push it away and try not to pay attention to it. Maybe it's the children. They're the ones that are supposed to be honoring, obeying their dad and mom, but then the children, they don't want to listen to what God has to say either. What are families like? Well, moms and dads are sinful, children are sinful. There's all kinds of problems and troubles in families because of who we are and where we live in a sinful world. But God promises His blessing when we do things His way and honor each other, parents honoring their children and taking their responsibility seriously, and children doing the same with their moms and dads. We put our faith into action when we honor our parents, and the second representative that we'll talk about is the government. The government is an earthly institution that gets its authority from God. Here's what Paul says in Romans 13. "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." When I think about government, I think about anyone that's elected to some office or position. Could be on a national level, could be on a local level. Even police officers, things like that, are part of the government that help guide and control our lives while we're here. God's given us the government for our benefit, and it's mostly for physical things. God uses the government to protect the citizens of our country. And think about the freedoms that you and I have that many others do not have in other countries. We get the freedom to be here tonight, to believe what we choose, for me to preach out of the Bible. No one tells us what to do or how to worship. We have freedoms like that, that are blessings from God. Another thing the government does is create peace and stability in our society so that we can live in relative safety and go about our daily lives. That's a blessing for us. And one more thing that the government does, government is there to help take care of people in their physical need. Some kind of natural disaster or tragedy, things that go wrong, government can be there to help people take care of the things that they need for a temporary basis. What should you and I be doing when it comes to the government? Well, like with our parents, we honor, serve, and obey. That's what God would want us to do, follow the laws and pay our taxes, things like that. But there are times when you and I, as Christians, we respect the government, but we don't agree. The Apostle Paul told the Jewish Sanhedrin, he said, we must obey God rather than men. So Paul was going to keep on preaching no matter what, even if the government said no. That was a time when he would disobey. Well, there are things like that that come up in our lives too. The government legalizes things like abortion, and they say it's okay, homosexuality, same-sex marriages, the transgender business, that's all out there. And our government promotes it. Well, as Christians, if we have to choose between obeying God and obeying the government, we give the same answer that the Apostle Paul did. We must obey God rather than men and respectfully disagree with what goes on. God wants us to realize, not that the government is perfect, it's never going to be, but to look at the blessings that we receive from it. The peace, the safety, the spiritual freedom that we have, the religious freedom, and so many others. God wants us to use those things and honor Him by obeying. When someone thinks that they're above the law, that means that they don't think the law applies to them. So maybe they think they can drive as fast as they want, or they don't have to follow this rule or that one. Well, sometimes, as Christians, you and I might be tempted to think the same thing. Well, we're Christians in this sinful world, so we're not required to do all these other things that God expects of everyone else. Sometimes you and I can abuse what God has given us, thinking that the law doesn't apply to us because we're God's special people, we're His children. God wants us to follow all the laws that are out there to the best of our ability. He wants us to honor Him by honoring the authority that He has placed here. It's not a matter of a perfect government. It's never going to be. People can talk politics all they want. It's never really going to change anything. That's not what God wants us to focus in on. Look at the earthly authority that He has given and the blessings that come from it, and honor God by loving, serving, and obeying, just as we do for parents. Then there's a third representative, and that's the church. You could describe the church as those spiritual leaders that God places in congregations to serve people. A pastor has a divine call to serve in a congregation, to preach and teach God's word faithfully, to administer the sacraments that are given in holy baptism and holy communion, just like Jesus gave them to us. Here at Emmanuel, we're privileged to have our Lutheran school, and so we have teachers who are called to do similar things, to teach God's word, to be a Christian example for the students, to do all that we can to share God's word. It's not the person, the pastor, or the teachers that are to be honored, but it's that office of the ministry that God has given. So what kind of blessings come from the church? Well, we get spiritual training, don't we? Every week we get a chance to get together and study God's Word. There's all kinds of Bible studies that you could attend. So many things that can help us in a spiritual way, and you and I need that. Another blessing that comes from being at church is spiritual comfort. There are funerals. There are things that happen to people that are tragedies. There are circumstances where people need help. And you and I, as a congregation, working together, we can use our resources and God's Word to help comfort people and to help them through a difficult time. When we're here at church, one of the blessings that God gives us is the guidance that we need. Our young people in school, they need guidance. When I'm teaching confirmation class, they need guidance. And it's not my guidance. Here's what God tells us about being guided through life. And even as adults, we need guidance. We need direction sometimes with how to respond to something in a way that's going to be pleasing to the Lord. And through the church, God gives us that ability, and He gives us those blessings. So, God wants us to honor the office of the ministry. He wants us to honor God's Word and use it in a way that's pleasing to Him. He wants us to do all we can to honor His representative, because when we do, then we're really honoring the Lord. Some of us have been a member of a church like Emmanuel for a very long time. Some not so long. Some haven't had that privilege until maybe they came here and got acquainted with God's Word. Well, it doesn't really matter how long you've been a Christian. There's a temptation that comes for every believer, and that is to take what we have for granted. The church has always been here. In 4 years, a little less than 4 years, Emmanuel will celebrate 150 years as a congregation. Some people would say, well, the church has always been here, and then take it for granted. I've always had my faith, and then take that for granted. Always had the Bible, and we're going to take that for granted. Well, we're used to it, but taking it for granted has some dangers to it. If I take something for granted, I don't really appreciate it. If I take something for granted, I'm not really working hard at keeping it. I'm just thinking I always have it and I always will. Well, that's what we pray for. That's what God has blessed us with. But you and I are living in a sinful world, and we're sinful people. We don't want to take any of that for granted. Can you imagine how hard people worked back in the late 1800s to start Emmanuel? I've read some of the history things, and a pastor came up, I believe it was from Saginaw. He came up here and then preached every once in a while and then started a group of people together. And then the old church was a few blocks away, built in 1878. That's when the church started. I think it was August 2nd, 1878. Can you imagine how hard they worked to have what they did and for us to have what we do today? Can you imagine how the pastors then faithfully taught God's Word? Maybe it was in German for a while, way back then, but how hard we do that still today. And our world today wants to compromise the Bible in its teachings to change it to what man wants to hear. We're fighting to keep that truth of God's Word. We should be working to keep our congregation going and not take it for granted. And you and I personally should be doing all that we can to be strong in our faith. We've had Bible readings the last couple Sundays on Judgment Day and Jesus' return, and we know it could come at any time. The Lord wants us to be ready, and that means that our faith is strong, and we're not taking any of these things for granted, but doing all that we can to hold on to them. God's given us His representatives. They are ones that He has sent to serve us. What a privilege we have with our parents in the past or now. What a privilege we have when we have the government to give us these freedoms so we can be here tonight and many more. What a privilege we have to be a part of a Christian church where we can hear God's Word in its truth and purity and help others to do the same. May we put our faith into action and honor God's representatives. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, join in confessing our faith. Tonight we'll be using the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We will continue with our prayers. Loving God and Lord, you created the universe that surrounds us and the globe on which we live. You control all things through your Son, who sits at your right hand in glory. Comfort us with the promise of your eternal presence. Give your word power as it works in our hearts and minds. Clear away our confusion and demolish our doubts. Send your Holy Spirit to strengthen both our confidence in your promises and our desire to live according to your will. Take away our love of sinning and restore us each day by your grace. The signs of the times warn us that the end of time is near. Protect us from scoffers who sneer at your truth. Spare us and Christians around the world from all forms of hate and persecution. Give us courage to carry the cross with patience and joy. Instill in the hearts of our children a desire to follow you as they prepare for future days. Help them distinguish between what is passing and what is eternal, between instant thrills and lasting joy. Encourage more young people to prepare for service in the ministry of the gospel. Mold us and move us to be good examples for our youth. Hold in your care, Lord, those who are experiencing physical or emotional pain, and all who are afflicted by disease or facing death. Pour out your compassion on the grieving, and comfort the mourners who miss someone they love. Move us to pray for these brothers and sisters and to help them when we can. Whether we pray together or alone, you have promised to hear and answer us. Give us patience to accept your blessings in whatever way you send them. In your love and wisdom, prepare us for the day when you will take us to be with you forever. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And we'll join in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.